The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Gordon Brown to look ahead to the best of the action coming up on Thursday. We're going to look at three races at Wincanton. There's also action at Brighton, at Uttoxeter, at Wolverhampton and at Punchestown on Thursday. But as I said, we're going to focus on Wincanton after having a brief discussion about Champions Day at Ascot, because of course we are just 3 days away from the showpiece there. Mr. Brown, how are you?
I'm very well, like you. Got a little bit of a snibble, but never mind, we're getting there.
Yeah, can't complain, can we?
No, we'd never complain.
Absolutely not.
We never complain. Yeah, well, Champions Day.
Yeah, some people are complaining about the state of the grounds at Ascot. I mean, the weather's something that we can't influence. What we can influence is when Champions Day is.
Yeah, I mean, can we? I mean, John Gosden writing the other day about Champions Day. I mean, I don't know if we can or can't influence. I mean, where it falls, you know, after the Arc, would it have to be before the Arc meeting? I mean, he also brings into the equation future Champions Day, the Friday card for 2-year-olds at Newmarket, which he doesn't think is working. And I think it definitely needs tweaking. There's no doubt about that. As you say, we can't... We can't improve the ground. When I say improve the ground, it's that time of year. If you have a wet autumn, and to be fair, we have had an Indian summer, so the ground has been all right until recently.
Mm.
It's a difficult one. The other thing as well, and I'm sure you've done it to death, I mean, the Champions Day, there's so many of the stars either injured or retired.
Well, I spoke to Gary Capewell about this yesterday.
And
saying, is it actually false to call it Champions Day? When you think, I think only one of the top 11 top-rated horses that are aged 3 or over are actually going to be taking part, and that's Cirrus de Segre. I mean, the rest, yes, granted, some of them have got perfectly valid reasons, either they're retired or, you know, it's not that they're choosing to skip it, but they have other targets, like the Arc, you know. It doesn't seem to work, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm not actually having a pop at, I mean, the concept's great, and don't forget, the first two Champions Days, you had Frankel.
Yeah.
You know, it was the Frankel factor. He ain't going to come along too often. So there's no Frankel factor. I mean, it is a decent meeting, but it's a bit like the Champions League in football. Not all the champion, not all the teams that go into the Champions League are champions, you know, because it's the top four in certain leagues. So, but this year it is even more so in the spotlight that most of the champions of the respective divisions won't be turning up. Having said that, it's not the fault of the people who are turning up that they ain't champions in their own right. They will be this year because there's going to be new champions in a lot of the divisions. So I think a combination of the stars not turning up and the very soft ground, and the other thing is, if it happens to be abandoned, and we think it'll probably cope with the rain, but it will be deep ground. Mm. If it did happen to be abandoned, there's no plan B. It ain't going to be rescheduled. So I hope it does go well for racing's sake, because there's been enough negative publicity. But as I say, it probably needs looked at. Where would they have it? They couldn't have it any later. They'd need to have it earlier. And I think if they move this, by definition, they need to move the future Champions Day at Newmarket as well.
Mm.
It's a difficult one. And again, you know, up until a couple of weeks ago, the ground was pretty quick. I mean, it's only recently the rains have come.
It's literally in the last week, 10 days, isn't it,
that
it has got soft. But as you said, there is no plan B. Front of the Racing Post, quite a clever graphic of a road sign, if you like. No plans to reschedule if weather strikes, but officials confident. I'd be surprised if it does if it is abandoned.
Oh, yeah. I think they'll move heaven and earth to get it on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's also... And I think it was Jim Goldie I was speaking to, and particularly on the straight course, it doesn't get that soft. The main danger would be on the round course, particularly around about Swindley Bottom.
Okay, fair enough. Right, well, we're going to focus on three races now. Certainly not Champions Day, but three at Wincanton, because, of course, the jump season is starting to just slide into gear. Officially, at the time of recording, which is 1 o'clock, the going at Wincanton is good to firm in places.
Yeah, I've got that as well.
Yeah, which, Wincanton often does get... It drains quite well, doesn't it?
And yeah, down the West Country. I'm looking at the forecast of Wincanton. Showers, good to firm, though, as you say.
Yeah, so not bottomless ground by any means at Wincanton. We'll start with the 250, which is a novice's handicap chase over 3 miles, 1.5 furlongs. A Class 4 event with 7 runners going to post. And some informed types as well, Gordon. Looks a nice enough race, this. The likes of Spoil Me, Rogue Dancer, coming here off the back of creditable seconds. Where should we start with this one?
Spoil Me, being in reasonable form at market, raising over fences, various trips as well. It was stepped up to the 3 miles last time at market, raising when sent off favourite and finished second behind Long Wave over a trip. So it was the thick end of 3 miles on that occasion. It'd been running at 2 miles two before that. It's got plenty of form over fences, but has yet to strike in 7 starts. In fact, it's only when came in a bumper Spoil Me. Of the others, Rogue Dancer has to be up there. As you say, that's one of the consistent types. Lonnie Hill, the trainer of Rogue Dancer. And she's done well with this horse. Unlike Spoil Me, it's got winning form. Notable jockey booking as well. A.D. Coleman rides Rogue Dancer, who's got winning form over fences and a winning point-to-pointer as well. The winning run over fences actually came over 2 miles. You talk to her over this sort of ground, and has since been well-back favourite when in the frame, third at Market Raisin and second at Huntingdon fairly recently. I think that might have been on Ark Day. And then the other one, Here Comes the Hollow, is worth mentioning for Nigel Twist and Davis. Pretty fresh, Here Comes the Hollow, for a horse that hasn't run since finishing out of the money at Chepstow over hurdles in the spring. So, taking these three, I think Here Comes the Hollow is the interesting contender here for the Twist and Davis camp. The fact he hasn't run for a while, he can get them ready pretty quick, Nigel Twist and Davis. Son Sam is the man on board, and he's making his chase debut as well. Still a maiden in bumper and hurdle company, stepping up in trip, first time over fences, get in. Here Comes the Hollow.
Okay, fair enough. Still completely and utterly unexposed, the Twist and Davies charge in that one. As I said, Sam on board, and tongue-tied for the first time as well. So would have a good
Ticks
chance.
Ticks a lot of boxes.
We also often see the Twist and Davies team starting the season well, don't we? Around Charlie Hall Day, they're often in pretty good form, and then, well, they seem to get there earlier than the others. So that could be one to note. Next up, the 320 from Wincanton, handicap hurdle over 2 miles, a Class 3 event. 7 runners going to post again. Recent winning form comes in the form of Meetings Man, who's obviously been mixing it on the flat and over jumps. Moss Street, Taresh as well, scored last time. And then you've got the likes of Val Dark and Stephen Hero, who are perhaps the more classy performers in the field.
Yeah, Val Dark is the class performer in the field. Not winning in 2 runs in bumper or 2 runs in hurdle company. It's got winning chase form. If you go back to about this time last year, it's since this autumn run very well at Newton Abbott, finished second in a race over this sort of distance, maybe a furlong or so further. So there's your class act in the race, Val Dark. You mentioned Stephen Hero for Dan Skelton. His horses are in a bit of form at the moment. That's likely to be the pace angle. That was up there until fading last time at Newton Abbott. Since then, it's actually had a run in the flat at Epsom. And it wasn't actually disgraced in an Epsom handicap. One of those races for jump jockeys. It was only beaten 3 lengths. So Stephen Hero comes into the mix. And the other one you've probably got to mention in the race is Meetings Man. Ali Strong, who is the new wife of the former jockey Sam Strong. Jockey's agent, of course, Sam Strong. And Meetings Man hasn't been seen out for a wee while. Over jumps. It's actually got recent form on the flat. So it comes here fit from the flat. As far as jumping form's concerned, well, it hasn't been over jumps for some considerable time. But Meetings Man is interesting. I like the profile of these horses that are fit from the flat, coming off the back Kozlov runs on the flat. I know it hasn't run for a wee while over jumps. I'm just looking down to see it's actually June of 2013 over hurdles that win when sent off favourite. Still on a reasonable mark. I think I might just go for meetings, man. Fit from the flat, and the last time we saw over jumps, it was actually in the winner's enclosure.
Okay, fair enough. Meetings ran the pick in the 3:20. And the final race that we're going to look at is the 3:50 handicap chase over 2.5 miles, a class 3 event with 10 runners going to post. Really, really good race this, Gordon. Hollow Blue Sky, same connections, same trainer as the one that we talked about in the 2:50. Here comes the Hollow. They'll be looking, certainly wouldn't be a Hollow victory, would it, if they get a double on the day?
No, Ryan Hatch is the man on board this particular horse. Sam Twiston Davis was on board when it finished. Where was it? It was at Perth last time. It finished third. Before that, it was also in the money at Perth as well, back at the Perth Festival. That was a fair run in between races there. They fancied it that day at Perth, but it had been off for 6 months. Now he can get them ready first time. I suspect this will be fancied to run well again, Hollow Blue Sky, for the Twiston Davis stable. Ryan Hatch takes £5 off the back. And the other Hollow in the race, watch your Hollows here, Hollow Blue Sky, the horse I'm talking about, Hollow Penny for Alan King and Tom Bellamy, unseated at the fifth last. That did blunder badly. It was still in touch, and that was at Fontwell. Prior to that, it had been in the winner's enclosure at both Fontwell and Newton Abbott. So Hollow Penny bidding on a little bit of a recovery mission, because it was quite a short price there. And the other one in the race I'd like to mention is Al Afa. And Al Afa is trained by Philip Hobbs, Richard Johnson on board. A Hobbs horse, always worth a second look. Hasn't been out since the spring of the year. Finished a two-length second at Wincanton on softish ground. It has got a fair bit of form on soft ground, so I'd be hoping those showers forecast for Wincanton would come. But this horse has got pretty decent form, and that was an excellent effort in the spring and has gone well fresh in the past. So if I had to make my choice in that race, I saw the horse fancied when possibly needing the run at Perth, it would be Hollow Blue Sky. I'm scared of Hollow Penny after the mishap last time, and as I say, keep an eye on Al Alpha as well.
Okay, but Hollow Blue Sky the pick,
correct,
in the last race. Thanks, Gordon. Best of luck with those picks, and we'll catch up with you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.